Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. And I want you to pray, be praying. There were some hands raised this morning in the service. And that ought to bother us and burden us when people raise their hand and don't move. They were troubled enough and stirred enough by God to raise their hand and then to not move. As the verse we're going to read, come now and let us reason together. That's what God was asking this morning, was just for them to come forward and let us reason together. God was trying his best to save them this morning and give them assurance and give them peace so they could be at peace with God. Ain't nothing better than being at peace with God. Amen. Yeah, it's one thing to have the peace of God, but it's another thing to be at peace with God. Amen. To not be an enemy of God. At one time we was, but when we got saved, from that point on, we have been at peace with God, and now we love to enjoy having the peace of God that's available to us. But pray for them people. Pray for them that I wasn't being mean, but I used to hear preachers and people pray like that all the time and say, God, don't let them sleep. Hang them out over hell tonight. When they close their eyes, let them see hell burning hot and take away their appetite, because be way better for them to endure that little bit of hardness than to go, die and go to hell. And so ask God to be patient and be merciful and long-suffering and deal with them again. Isaiah chapter number 1, verse 18, the Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Preaching on the subject, come now and let us reason together. And we began this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach not even a little bit of what I dealt with this morning, other than just to give you the point. And we dealt with this morning on consider the call of the Savior. And ain't you glad we have a Savior who's willing to call? He called your name. He came to where you was, and he reasoned with you. And if you saved, you reasoned with him and got born again. But then number two tonight, and I'm going to hit this one very briefly because I'm going to close. I want to have my time left to close this message out. But number two, not only consider the call of the Savior, but number two, consider the condition of the sinner. The Savior called for a reason. He knew the condition we were in. As sinners, God knew. By the way, he still knows. He knows where you are. He knows where I am. But God knows, and God knew you when you were at your very worst. Things that you have spent a lifetime trying to cover up and hide and hoped and begged and maybe even prayed that God would never let that get out. And then think about the thoughts you've had. And I'm telling you, there's some thoughts I've had and there's some things I've done I hope would never be publicized. Ain't you glad for the blood of Jesus that covers and does away with sin? I mean the fact that you will never have to face that sin again. My goodness. And I can't say much more about that because that's where we're going to end up. But Jesus seen you there. God seen you at your worst. And I want you to consider the condition of the sinner. Isaiah 1:18, this morning we mainly dealt with the first part. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Then it goes on to say, though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins, God brings up the reality that we are sinners. He said, though your sins be as scarlet. Listen to what the Bible has to say about just who we was before God found us. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. None, not one. Romans 3:23, we all know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. And we was guilty before God. Guilty before God. And so in a nutshell, these verses put us all in the same boat. We was all on a sinking ship of sin. We were all, no matter if you think you was a little better than that one, or a little, listen, we was all sinners. We was all in just rotten to the core, had nothing to offer God. And listen, no matter what walk of life you come from, no matter if you're rich or poor, no matter your background, no matter what your creed or color is, we're all born with the polluted blood of Adam that's flowing through our veins. Therefore, we're all born with a sin nature. And we are all sinners by birth, by nature, and by choice. Amen. That's one thing that we was born this way. Yeah, you hear people say that. Well, I'm a homosexual because I was just born this way. Maybe. I doubt it. Because you do know that man who came... Who rendered those drawings of the mind, those scientific drawings that showed that a homosexual's brain had different wave patterns and all that, was different than a heterosexual or a straight man. On his deathbed, he cried out and said, I made it all up. I lied about it all, and I can't die with this on my conscience. But whether you, listen, the reality is we was all born in sin. And that's a fact. We're all born in sin. And so we could say, well, I was born that way, and so how can you blame me, God, for that? Well, that'd be bad, but it's just a reality. We was born that way. And so we got that nature in us. And that nature, when we got old enough, we didn't have to even get old enough. We started out lying and crying as babies. Babies, where's that baby? Oh. Babies, I guarantee you that baby's lied to you already. Well, you probably not so much, but her. Yeah, because you don't feed him. But that baby would wake up in the middle of the night, just like he's done, like he ain't ate in a month, knowing good and well he's fine. He's just lying. Little liar. Don't get mad. That's what the Bible says. That's right. We all did. We was born with that nature. And then it progressed. And our nature is, the more we sinned, the more we loved it. chose to do it deliberately, intentionally, and we enjoyed it. Why? Because there's pleasure in it for a season. Well, so I'm talking about the condition of the sinner. My friend, whether you know it or not, you are a sinner, guilty before God. You say, preacher, I'm not all that bad of a sinner, though. Well, I figured some might say that. You just remember, and I'm serious about this, you just remember, next time you think I'm not that bad of a sinner, remember this. Pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to deal with right here. You remember that you and all your not so bad of a sinner self, you are the very reason Jesus had to die on the cross. So I don't know where you get off thinking you wasn't that bad. I'd say that's pretty bad. You were the guilty one. He was the innocent. We were the guilty. Every time you pop a top, every time you toke a joint, every cuss word that comes out of your mouth, every time you look at things you know you ought not be looking at, remember, Jesus, hey, by the way, somebody asked me this week, said, oh, it ain't, woo, look at her. It ain't sin to look. Well, I got just one problem with that. That don't match the book. Because Jesus said, if you look upon a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Are you listening? Now, we'd all say amen to that, you know, that drinking and that smoking and that toking and that cussing and that pornography. I mean, we'd all say that's sin, right? Right? Amen? Amen. Yeah. But let me get all up in some of y'all others' grill who don't have a problem with a foul tongue of sorts, who don't struggle with a cuss word every now and then, who don't struggle with grabbing a beer. And I'm against that. I say it's wrong. I say you ought not mess with it. Wine's a mocker. Hey, listen, strong drink, it's raging. It ain't good. Listen to me. But hey. Can I remind you, all y'all that's looking so beautiful all up in the church tonight, your stinking unforgiving spirit is just as sinful and unchristlike as anything else I just named. Your pride is just as wicked as a man drinking a case of beer. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Some of you done got so high and dignified, and you'll sit up on your high holy seat and like a Pharisee, and you will be up here looking way down low at us sinners, and you'll say, oh, can't believe you do that. Oh, you're so wicked. I know about that. Listen, can I say to you, you never got over that to the place you forgave somebody if you always putting it in front of their face. You say, well, we can forgive, but we can't forget. Hey, listen to me. Have you ever, Brother Raymond, have you ever sinned and went to Jesus humbly and honestly and said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I messed up. Please forgive me. And he did, didn't he? Has he ever come back to you and dangled that in your face? I mean, even the next time you done it and you had to crawl back to him and say, Lord, I know. I said I'd never do it again, but Lord, here I am again. Did he say, I forgive you last time, but no, he never has. You know why? Because he really forgave you. This thing of unforgiveness, the Bible speaks of very clearly, and it is a sin. You can, listen, you may not have ever said a cuss word in your life. You may not have ever popped a top in your life. You may not ever went to a disco in your life. But I can promise you, if you've got an unforgiving spirit, that it stinks in the nostrils of God. And it nailed Jesus to the tree, just like those of us who did those other flashing neon sins we all like to be gobsmacked about. You can say amen or old me, but it's the truth. See, we've categorized sin. We've put them on a scale. Well, these are bad and these are not. Sin is sin. A little lie, a little white lie, no such thing. They all dark, wicked, big, black lies. Because one, whether you think it's little or big, nailed him to the tree. Amen. What about every time you get an attitude for no reason? I know, hey, this is hard preaching right here. Anybody can get up and preach about drunks and dopers and but mostly what's sitting on the pews is people who God saved out of that lifestyle, and it's those who are thinking they A-OK, but they are living in a cesspool of sin that they have recategorized and they've hidden, and they're so prideful about it they don't even realize they have it and have a problem with it. Do you know it's a sin to just fly off the handle and get have such a bad attitude? Somebody say, hey, how you doing? And you just fly off on them and just go to town on them. Does not the Bible say and command us have the mind of Christ? That we ought to be like Christ? No, that's exactly right. And it's a sin. It's a sin for us to walk around thinking we better than people and looking down on people. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the religious crowd that nailed him to the tree was like. God help us to remember where he found us. Some of you need to get over whoever you hadn't forgiven in the past. You need to forgive that thing and move on for the glory of God. It won't just deliver them. It will deliver you. You're the one in bondage to that. Amen. This mentality of I'm not as bad as them is corrupt to the core. It's full of pride and oozing in the nostrils of God. And just remember, those sins I just named, pride, gossip. Hey, what about that? Oh, we would call real quick if somebody stood up and said a cuss word, and I'm against cussing. I ain't a cusser. I ain't never been. I ain't saying I ain't never cuss. I'm saying I ain't a cusser. wasn't the way I was raised. And I know these people who was raised in their whole life from the time they was three, they was cussing. That's all they was ever brought up in. So they gonna obviously have a harder time with it than I do, because I wasn't around it. I didn't hear it. And that ain't trust me, I got my problems, I got my issues, but cussing ain't one. I got my problems, I got my issues, but I ain't a drinker. I watched my daddy too long, and it scared me, and it made me never want to do that. But I'm here to tell you, listen, those sins that are in us, in the church, sins of pride, unforgiveness, sins of backbiting, sins of gossip, sins of sowing discord among the brethren. Can I have your attention, please? They all have just as much weight to thud the hammer into the spike that drove the hand into the wood. The next time you get ready to gossip, just remember, you are guilty of spitting in Christ's face. It wasn't just them Roman soldiers. It was us. The next time you get ready to sow discord and try to tear the church down or tear somebody down, listen to me, it was you plucking the beard off our Savior's face. The next time you get ready to sin, just remember it wasn't just the Roman soldiers. He died for you and for me, and it was us pushing the crown of thorns in his head. We're guilty. And we ought to get away from this categorizing of sin, and we ought to look inward instead of outward. Say amen. It was our sin that spat in his face. It was your sin that plucked out his beard. It was your sins and mine that cracked the whip over his back till his visage was marred more than any man had ever been marred before. It was our sins that drove the nails in the hands and feet. It was yours and my sins that drove the spear into his side. That's the condition of the sinner. Now, understanding the condition of the sinner, don't that make you much more appreciative of the call of the Savior that we dealt with this morning? That leaves one left, and this is the best of all. Listen, number three, in closing. This morning we looked at, consider the call of the Savior. Then for a few minutes we looked at, consider the condition of the sinner. In closing, consider the cleansing of our sin. I look back at our text. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ain't you glad we have a God who's ready to reason with us and is able and available to cleanse every sin? Let me give you some Bible. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Thank God there is forgiveness for sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That would be you. Hallelujah. Can I give you some more? Bible. I'm talking about the forgiveness of your sin. Isaiah 43 verse 25, the Bible said, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. And I will not remember thy sins. Could everybody say amen to that? God said, I will blot out your transgressions and I will not remember your sins. Thank God. He has cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. God chose to never remember my sin anymore. Thank God for forgiveness of sin. He said, I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. 1 John 1:9, we all know this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. What about Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed, listen, with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. You know what happened to Joshua? The devil was standing there accusing him. The accuser of the brethren was standing there, and there Joshua stood in all of his garments that were filthy and ragged and rotten and stained by sin. And God stepped up and God said, I will put new clothes on you. I'll pull them old raggedy, rotten clothes off you, and I'll put a new garment on you, and it'll be white as snow. God stood with Joshua against the devil, and he rebuked the devil. And if he did that for Joshua, the Bible said he's no respecter of persons. And don't you remember how dirty you was? Don't you remember how vile you was? Boy, I remember how dirty and vile and stinking and wretched I was. And God come stood by me and clothed me in his righteousness and forgave me all my sin. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you was justified? Somebody said, what does justified mean? Justified, never sinned. And that Bible said, you're justified freely. Didn't cost you a thing. It cost him everything. That's why we owe him everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. I done pulled a muscle while I'm preaching. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We ain't got nothing to brag about. We sinners, remember? Remember our condition? But all we got one to glory in, his name is Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You so forgiven. Your sins are so taken care of. He's already paid the earnest. You are as good. Listen, these people who think you're going to sin and lose your salvation, please hear me. He's done made the payment for your sin. You can't do nothing to get out of this deal. If you're saved, you're sealed. Amen. That might not mean a lot to you, but I say praise God. I'm glad he didn't leave it up to me. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving this up to me to get my way to heaven, because I'd never made it. By the way, neither would you, you stinking hypocrite. Ain't a one of us, after being saved, has lived up to it. Hadn't done it. That's why God made an oath to himself and with himself. Because God knew we couldn't keep it. God knew we couldn't earn it. God knew we couldn't keep it. That's why he earned it. He paid for it. He redeemed us. And then he sealed us. What a God. What a Savior. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I close with these verses. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hang on with me. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all following me? Nor yet that he should offer himself often, talking about Jesus, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ, and here it is, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I say, what a Savior. How can you not reason? Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be, listen to me. It don't get no better than this. You couldn't ask for a better deal than this. You couldn't imagine anything better that we have one who wants to reason and one who did. Come to you and call your name, knowing the condition you were in as a sinner, and then was willing and able to cleanse you of all your sin, past, present, and future. They're all under the blood. That might bore some of you, but listen, I'm as excited as I can be. My goodness. You may not have been where I've been, but I know how bad I've been. I know how ashamed of a life I've lived. And I know how awful and how terrible the things I've done. And you may remember them, but thanks be unto God, my sins are under the blood of Jesus. Never to be brought to me again. Brother Ned, I'll never have to stand and give an account, not for one. Because they're under the blood. Because what those high priests did once every year, And they sprinkled that blood, and they'd go back, and that would cover the sin for a year. Our great high priest, what we just read about, he went into the heavens. And on the mercy seat in heaven, he sprinkled that once and forever pure, perfect blood. That eternal blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And it's speaking out for me today. And it's advocating for you today. And when the accuser of the brethren comes to say, "Don't you remember what he did?" I can just picture in my mind Jesus breaking out in a tune. My voice is gone and I can't sing, but looking over to old Slewfoot himself and saying, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." Praise the Lord, my sins are gone. My sins are gone. My sin, they're gone. Not just covered, but they're gone. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. What a call from a Savior. And what condition we was as sinners. But what cleansing of sin. Only Jesus. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, have your will and way. Lord, thank you from the depths of my heart. I mean it, Lord. I mean it like I hadn't meant it in a long, long time. Much obliged, Lord. Much obliged. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to shed your own precious blood to cover me, to redeem me, to save me. Thank you for calling me and coming to me and bidding me to come to you. Come now, let us reason together. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with my sin problem. Lord, now that you have, now that I know, may I give my life to you. Oh, God, help me to honor you with my life, with a life of thanksgiving. Help me to praise you, Lord. Help me to honor and glorify your name all the days of my life. And help these that are saved, that are around me, do the same for just how good you've been to us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.